Hello, my name is Monica. I'm a compulsive overeater and junk food addict. I'm super happy to be here. I just wanted to start off with an acronym because I love acronyms. And that acronym is FAITH, and that's Fantastic Adventure in Trusting Higher Power. And I really like that because, like, I don't think of this program as like something I have to do, but something I'm excited about doing. So anyway, I just want to put that out there. And because I'm super duper sentimental, and this is the daily reprieve meeting, one of my very first OA meetings, I just wanted to read really quick March 31st for today. The only way to predict the future is to have the power to shape the future. In the days when I was practicing compulsive overeating, I could not predict my behavior. I went through life a sliver, slice, and slab at a time, thinking, this time I will control it. But it is not controllable, not predictable. That is the disease of compulsive overeating. Powerless to carry out my good intentions to eat only certain amounts, I found myself unable to manage other aspects of my life. Though I have come a long way, I am not cured. I have a daily reprieve that, by enabling me to abstain today, restores to me the power to become the person I want to be. For today, I turn my life over to my higher power, and in return, I receive the full use of my God-given potential. And I just thought that was really beautiful, and I like how it mentions the daily reprieve. I guess I'll just kind of qualify. When I was young, I ate a lot. And I always give this example of how my dad and all his sarcasm and imperfections mockingly called me pig girl. I lost a number of friends from being bipolar and from mania. I got medicated, but I was still I eventually was medicated, and then I was feeling better, but still having a pity party for myself. And when I was younger, my parents said, you don't need a psychiatrist, you have good grades. So I studied hard, I went to law school, I became a civil rights lawyer. And after a while, I grew tired of the organization I was working with, and I went to nursing school. And it was there that all I would do was eat and study, just sit at a coffee shop and eat pastries all day. And I was really fearful of people. I was too afraid to speak to classmates or ask for help. So I flunked out of nursing school after about a year and a half. And after I sacrificed a lot of time and money and energy sitting there eating myself up to about 200 pounds. In the past, I've had like bouts of controlled eating, but most often I would just binge. I would eat, one bag of chips, and then before I was done, I was looking for the next. And if I had a half hour drive ahead of me, I would stop at least like, three places, four places to get food. And that was, any time of day and night there and back. So it was a lot. It's kind of interesting. I'm in the beverage program too, and some of the similar behaviors that like I had with alcohol, I can definitely see I have with food. So I'm definitely a true addict. They say this is a spiritual program. This program, OA, gave me access to a higher power. I was cut off from spirituality because I was pretty repelled by some of the sexism in the religion that I grew up in. So I became an atheist. And today I have super duper much respect for, atheists, but I know I don't know, so I know that I do not know if there's a higher power or not. But the program says that you have to get a higher power. So I was like, okay, but you know, she's going to be a she. And, you know, to even things out. And I called her, or I still call her Divine Mother Goddess. And basically your higher power can be anything as long as it's not you. It has to be something that's greater than you. And because it's, you know, my higher power is like, you know, like the universe and science, because it's you and everyone and everything else. I guess another way to think about it is, if my higher power were small enough for me to understand, then she wouldn't be big enough to help me. So yeah, I don't understand how it works, but I guess I'm not supposed to, because then I would be on that level. I was, you know, asking questions like I often do of my higher power. You know, how do I stay consistent? How do I, you know, how do I, you know, stay committed? And I always keep in mind, you know, three things, so that I'm only one bite away from a binge. And the road to, you know, continue on to like diabetes, heart disease, obesity. I've never been over 200 pounds, but I can just add a yet to the end of that. And, you know, yet can also mean you'll end up there. And then three, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So, you know, I like really must try to the best of my ability to plan, especially when it comes to the food. You know, like the day before, I have my shopping done. Don't set myself up for failure. And I realized that, you know, some other things about food, that it's, I have to think that it's more than just the taste or texture, or how it makes me feel like immediately. I have to think about what it does to my body an hour after eating it. And, you know, certain foods, especially I'm a junk food addict, might be great in that moment. Great, quote unquote. But, you know, that's not the end of their story. And it leads to like lethargy and tiredness. And I find myself, you know, sleeping in the middle of the day and feeling guilty of and having like low self-esteem because of what I didn't get accomplished because I was, you know, zonked out in the food. And I also have realized since being in the program that it's important not to cram everything into one day and get overwhelmed. But it's good to challenge myself, but not so much so that I can't work my program. You know, if I, you know, if I try to accomplish too much and, you know, practice too much perfectionism, I won't have time to do steps 10, 11, and 12. And I, you know, I wouldn't have time for self-care and to food plan and, you know, use the tools. So I just wanted to talk about steps 10, 11, and 12. I will see how much time I have for it. Step 10, page 85 of the big book, it says, it's in the middle, it says it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. We are headed for trouble if we do, for alcohol is a subtle foe. We are not cured of alcoholism. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. Every day is a day when we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How best can I serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish. It is the proper use of the will. I don't know, I really like that. I'm, like I said, I'm sentimental. I love the daily reprieve. I am like constantly doing step 10s and check-ins, like, you know, what is my emotional state? And, you know, like, where was I at fault, or where did some character defect come up? I write like a 10-step type thing in my food plan to my sponsor every morning. And my 10-step type thing is called my 5 G's. And so the first G is what's good in my life. The second one is what are my glitches? The third one is where have I grown? The fourth one is name three things I'm grateful for. And then what are my goals for the day? So, that always helps to clarify and give me some direction. And what really gives me a ton of direction is the two-way prayer. So the step 11, talking to higher power, prayer, and meditate, and listening for what my higher power wants me to do. So that, just in case you don't know what the two-way prayer is, this is how I do it. I write out, you know, my gratitudes, and I say like a few gratitudes to my higher power. I say what's going on in my life, and I ask my higher power a question, and then I meditate for 5 minutes and listen for the answer. And when I get the answer, I write it down, and I'll give you an example of a two-way prayer that I wrote, just so you can, I don't know, there's stuff in this good, and you can see how it's done. One way to do it, not how it's done, but just one way to do it. So I said, this is in February, I wrote this. I said, Dear Divine Mother Universe, thank you for today. Thank you for putting new and interesting job opportunities in my life. Please keep me calm and level-headed when I feel like I'm about to explode. When I am too sleepy to work, please give me the energy. When I'm bored, give me gratitude and that I have things to do. Give me the inspiration, courage, and integrity to push forward and help my clients and fellow compulsive readers and others. And I got back from my higher power. Dear Monica, you must write me every day. Your writing addresses all of these issues because when you write, I appear. I am action. Writing is an action. Exercise is an action. Eating healthy food I have provided you is action. Connection with me is action. Eating alcoholic foods, that is the result of non-action. So that was my two-way prayer. And then the last step I'll talk about is the 12 step. So yeah, this is all like living in 10, 11, and 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And I definitely think that, you know, being in OA has helped all my affairs. It's given me the confidence as far as work. You know, I've been able to get to a healthier body weight, but also like in my marriage, I actually know how to, like, you know, communicate. So this program has taught me so much. And the part about carry the message to compulsive overeaters, you know, like service and all that great stuff. From my perspective, and this is, I think that different people can do different things in terms of service, and that is absolutely what we need in order to keep the organization going. But I'll just say that I was a delegate this past weekend I was a delegate this past April at the OA World Service Business Conference, and it was super amazing to see people from all over the world. I mean, like Russia and Ukraine together saying the Serenity Prayer, you know, Canada, all around the United States and the United Kingdom, and other countries. I was able to see some of you in person. which was really cool, and gave you a hug. But I will admit that I was a bit surprised to see the, I don't know, I guess like the makeup, for example, like the board of trustees, it was, I went up there and I spoke to them. And it was like,
First, gentle reminder.
Thank you. The board was, from my perspective, it was just, it was like all white and all very much so older people, which I love older white people. But for it to be only that, I was like, that's, you know, we got to do something about this. We need, and some of the trustees were running for a re-election. And I asked several of them, like, what is your plan to attract and draw in more underrepresented people of color to OA? And there wasn't really a plan from these particular nominees. And I wasn't just speaking to the nominees. I was speaking to all 176 delegates from around the world. And I told them, just like I'm telling you right now, that like there are places, just for an example, like Detroit, which is where I'm from, there's no OA meetings. There's two phone meetings, but there's no Zoom, there's no face-to-face meetings, anything like that. And there are, you know, face-to-face meetings in the suburbs of Detroit, which are, you know, it's almost all white. And I'm going to be starting a new, a face-to-face meeting, or at the very least a Zoom meeting in Detroit, and promote, you know, just OA, like, in the Detroit community, it's like the most densely populated Black city outside of Africa. And, you know, and also I joined a subcommittee, and there's people like all over the country who are on the subcommittee who are trying to do the exact same thing I'm doing in their communities, starting OA meetings, spreading the message to everyone, but also especially to underrepresented people. And also, I just wanted to say that, you know, OA Footsteps has a PIPO, Unity with Diversity Committee, that meets every other Saturday at noon Eastern Time. And we love to have your input and ideas and talent, time and energy to carry the message to OA, to all people, no matter their color, ethnicity, or gender, or sexuality, or religious beliefs. It's on the OA Footsteps calendar. And I guess I'll just end with there's a saying that goes like, if you romance it, then you chance it. And so when it comes to like the food, I don't think about it. I don't entertain the idea. And, you know, on the May 29th, Voices of Recovery, it talks about, you know, a brick wall. And like, you know, just how I accept that I can't run through a brick wall. I accept that, you know, I can't eat compulsively and have a healthy body weight. And I had to surrender to the truth. And
gentle reminder for final two.
Thank you. And just like, you know, I can't walk through walls. You know, I have to, you know, if I want to be free and happy and have serenity and confidence, and you know, I need to be abstinent. And so there's just a question, like, if I were a gazelle in the jungle, you know, and with my herd, would I want to be on the inside or the outside of the herd? And I think I would want to be on the inside of the herd, because I would be protected from all the zebras, not the zebra, but all the lions and tigers and the things that want to eat me. And, you know, that is the disease. That's the craving. If I'm not like in this program, if I'm not coming to meetings every day, if I'm not using the tools, if I'm not having that connection with my higher power, then I'm on the outside of that herd, and it's going to be really easy to come and grab me. But, you know, if I stay in the middle of this herd, if I keep coming back every day and keep working my program, you know, I'm going to be protected from this disease. And so Anyway, just thank you so much for being a part of my tribe. I love you so much. Thanks.